Welcome back to the GCN Racing News Show. Coming up this week, Tadej Pogačar is out of La Vuelta and possibly out for the rest of this season after a nasty crash in which he broke multiple bones. I'll be looking at what it means for the rest of La Vuelta and for the other big races that remain in 2026. It's going to be very, very different. I'll also wrap up the other major races from last week, including the European Gravel and World Mountain Bike Championships. This week in the world of racing, we learned that Mathieu van der Poel just can't seem to get it right at the UCI Mountain Bike World Championships. He went into Sunday's race with very high hopes, but came up a long way short. More on that later on. We also learned that patience is a virtue in the world of sprinting, as 32-year-old Brion Coquart finally snagged his maiden Grand Tour stage victory after 12 years of agonising near misses. Unfortunately though, his win that day was largely overshadowed, because finally this week, we learned that the GC at La Vuelta a España is now wide open because Tadej Pogačar crashed out. So up until stage 8, things couldn't really have been more predictable. Pogačar had, by that point, already won 3 of the 7 stages that had been contested and enjoyed a very comfortable 4-minute lead on the general classification. It looked like business as usual, and the only real questions were how many more stages he'd win and who would fill the remaining podium places. But all that went out of the window after he hit a rock, or at least something large and black, with 30k's to go on stage 8. Now, he initially tried to jump back on his bike, but it was soon apparent to him and to everybody else that he wouldn't be able to. Subsequent examinations revealed that he'd broken his collarbone, suffered concussion, and had a fracture to his C7 cervical vertebrae. And it felt really strange to watch, didn't it? Pogačar has never crashed out of a stage race in his life. Many of you will know that I was rather obsessed with that statistic. So he has crashed out of Liège-Bastogne-Liège in 2023, of course, and he has pulled out of other one-day races on rare occasions, but he has never pulled out of a stage race until Saturday. Stage 8 of La Vuelta was the 410th time that he competed in a stage of a UCI-ranked stage race and his first ever DNF. And it felt like in that one single moment, the world of cycling as we currently know it was thrown into disarray. Everything we expected to happen for the rest of this race won't happen, and what we expected for the rest of this season probably won't happen either. Even with the collarbone and concussion, it would be a stretch even for Pogačar to get back to top form ahead of the World Championships, which are in just 4 weeks' time. But the most complicated injury is that of the C7 vertebrae. It requires a significant rest period to ensure it heals properly, not something you want to rush nor get wrong. No timeline is going to be set by his team for his return to riding or racing until he's been closely monitored for quite some time, so we won't know for a while. But those with knowledge in that type of injury all hold the opinion he probably won't race again this season. Now, if that's the case, it completely changes the final part of 2026. Nobody else has won the Elite Men's Road World since Mathieu van der Poel in Glasgow in 2023. It's also likely, of course, that he'll miss the European Championships, which take place in his hometown in Slovenia in October. And it's perhaps that which he'll be most gutted about missing. But it's not just that those races will not have the big favourite that they would have done under normal circumstances. It's the fact that the dynamics of every one of them will be completely different. So it won't be UAE or Slovenia taking the bull by the horns and locking all of them down for Pogačar's winning move, and so other teams are going to have to change their own strategies accordingly. Now, of course, those teams already have their own strategies, but it's safe to say they'll be built around how they think Pogačar and his team will race that day. Without him, those strategies are going to be completely different. Those races are going to be completely different. And I know there will be people who are very much looking forward to that change. I mean, personally, I'm gutted that he's out injured. As I've said many times before, I'm one of the people who's really enjoyed witnessing greatness, even if it has often taken the unknown out of racing. That's not to say that I won't enjoy watching those upcoming races without him, but for me, it's going to be a bit like watching cyclocross before Van der Poel starts his season. Still great racing, but with the knowledge it would be different if the best rider in the world was there. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I know there's quite a split of opinion on Pogačar's dominance in recent years. Are you looking forward to the return of more open racing, or are you less interested if Pogačar isn't on the start line? You can let me know in the comments section down below. Back to La Vuelta then. The man who went into the race lead after Pogačar's exit was Enric Mas of Movistar. So after a tough couple of years, he surprised everyone by catching up to Pogačar on the Stage 7 climb. Ultimately, he lost the stage win to the world champion, but he showed there he's on the best form he's had in years. It also meant he put time into all his other rivals, which at the time looked like a fight for second place. But now, though, there's a Grand Tour title on the line. Mass refused to wear the jersey on the podium after Stage 8, but the following day he wore it on the stage, and he won that day. Decathlon set the pace on the final climb of what was the hardest stage of the race this year, but Mass was cool, calm and collected in his defence of that jersey. So he followed the moves when he needed to, and then made his own attack in the final kilometres. Only Oscar Onley could follow, and with the net company rider over 2 minutes down, Mass could afford to push the pace himself, knowing he was putting time into everybody else. And as it happened, that pace was so high, Onley was suffering just to stay on the wheel, and Mass had enough to accelerate in the closing couple of hundred metres to take his first stage win at the race in 8 years. And believe it or not, that was just his seventh pro win. So what a 24 hours that was for Mass and for Movistar at their home Grand Tour. So it means that with 12 stages remaining, Mass leads Roglic by a minute 18 seconds in the GC. Felix Gaul, who was unable to capitalise on his teammates' hard work that day, is third at 1:39, whilst Onley is fourth at 2:20. Carapaz is over a minute behind that, while Skelmos, Kuss, Tejada, Mühlberger and Almsell round out the top 10 currently. The gaps to them, though, are already significant, so it feels like the win will be fought out between those first four. So who is the favourite, then, as things stand? Well, according to the bookmakers, the order of the first four currently is also the order of the odds, so Mass is the favourite for the win. However, I'm not sure I entirely agree. With a 32km individual time trial to come on stage 18, Primoz Roglic is going to be licking his lips. And there's also the fact that, in theory, he should be on the ascendancy in terms of his form. And I say that because, as we all know, his preparation was far from ideal with a nasty training crash leading into the race, one that was bad enough that his participation was in doubt. There are two schools of thought from that point of view, though. One is that he will ride himself into his best form, which is what Mass will be worried about. And the other is that he'll be suffering more in the early part of the race because of his disrupted preparation, and therefore could pay for his efforts in the second half of the race. What we definitely know about Roglic, though, is that he is a proven winner. Less so in the last season or two than previously, of course, but he still has that same mentality. Now, he wouldn't have been expecting to be in this position, but now that he is, he's going to be pretty determined to take that record fifth Vuelta title. But if Mass wins, that would be huge. Spain hasn't had a winner of the Vuelta since Alberto Contador back in 2014. Mass himself has been a nearly man of the race for what seems like an eternity, and it would be quite the story if he were to hold on to that red jersey all the way to Granada. Don't count out Gaul or Onley either, though. There's a lot of racing still to come, and in the absence of Pogacar, it could be completely unpredictable. Again, let me know your thoughts on this. Who's the favourite for the race now, in your opinion, at this point? Just to wrap up the other stages from last week, Matthew Brennan took a second stage victory on day 5, beating Mayers and Albanese to the line. Andreas Leknessen took the biggest win of his career on stage 7, winning from a breakaway on what was a 1-2 for Uno X. Tobias Hallander-Johansson took second with Wout van Aert in third. And then on stage 8, well, it was a day of firsts. The first time Pogacar had pulled out of a stage race, the first time Enric Mas had led a Grand Tour, and the first time that Brion Coquard had won a stage of a Grand Tour. Hard to believe, really, that one, isn't it? Coquard had been close on so many occasions, is it easy to think he has won at the Vuelta or the Tour de France before, but he hadn't until Saturday. And a fine win it was too, beating Mas Pedersen to the line in the sprint. Wout van Aert leads the points classification by a significant margin now over teammate Brennan, while Santiago Buitrago is the current king of the mountains, and then Onley leads the best young riders classification. The race will continue today with another rolling stage that will either be for the breakaway or possibly a reduced bunch sprint. Okay, moving on to the two one-day races in Plouay-France from the weekend now. In the men's, which is named the Breton Classic West France, it was the usual attritional affair. It's a brilliant circuit, actually, which offers chance for the attackers whilst also having an equal chance of a reduced sprint. On this occasion, it was the former which proved successful. Cofidis Alex Aramburu launched a move just inside 2Ks to go, and there was enough hesitation behind him for him to open up a sizeable gap, and despite a concerted chase from Alexander Kamp, the Basque rider held on to win by 4 seconds. Alessandro Borgo of Bahrain Victorious won the sprint for third. In the women's race, the Classic Lorient Agglomeration, the big news was that Misa Bredevel did not take her fourth consecutive win. She was pipped to the line by Elisa Balsamo. Lidl Trek had done the bulk of the controlling for her over the final kilometres, and the Italian took advantage of Bredevel's early launch of her sprint, coming round her before the finish line. Francesca Koch took third for FDJ Suez. Meanwhile, up in Hoefelies in Belgium, the European Gravel Championships took place at the weekend. In the men's, it was the man of the moment in pro gravel racing who took the spoils, Mads Vos Schmidt. The Dane averaged over 34 kilometres per hour for the 142-kilometre event, with over 2,000 metres of climbing. Schmidt made his move from a small front group with around 50k's to go, never to be seen again. Although that said, home rider Wout Allemann did a decent job at limiting the gap, coming to the line just over a minute down. It was a much closer affair in the women's race, with Femke Markus, Shirin van Androy, Larissa Hartog and Axel Dubois-Prevot forming a lead group early on. They stayed together for much of the race, and with three Dutch riders in the group, it was theirs to lose. Van Androy made a move with 8k's remaining, but she was reeled in, and eventually it came down to a sprint between the four. In that sprint, Markus was the quickest, beating Van Androy and Dubois-Prevot to the line. Now, as many of you know, Si and I are competing at the World Gravel Championships in Nanup, Australia in mid-October, so I had an eye on our respective categories. Nico Roach won the men's 40-44 category, over a minute clear of everyone else, whilst Philippe Gilbert was 7th in that one. Owen Backer of the Netherlands won the 45-49 category, and covered the course just a few seconds slower than Roach. So we both have our work cut out for those rainbow jerseys. I'm joking, of course. One of the most hotly anticipated races of the last week, though, was the Elite Men's XCO World Championships, particularly from a road fan's point of view, with both Mathieu van der Poel and Tom Pidcock competing. In the end, it went significantly better for one than the other, of course. Both had ground to make up due to their gridding positions at the start, but whilst Pidcock steadily made his way through the field, van der Poel was struggling and never really managed to get into the race. At a point, it was evident he wasn't going to be in the fight for the win, and as such, he probably didn't go 100% on his way to a distant 30th place. Up front, there were two Brits fighting it out, Pidcock and also European champion Charlie Aldridge. Once he made the front group, Pidcock sat in for a bit, but made a series of attacks over the closing two laps, distancing his rivals one by one. Aldridge was the last to get dropped, but he did manage to hold on for the silver medal. For Pidcock, it's his second world title in the discipline, which he adds to his two Olympic titles, and he dedicated it to the late Finn Tarling. Now, in the absence of Pogacar, he will line up for the World Road Championships as one of the big favourites on a course that's very well suited to him in Canada. And he has the opportunity there to become the first male rider ever to take world elite titles in cyclocross, mountain bike and road. In the women's race, Sina Frey took her first ever elite XCO title for Switzerland. She set a blistering pace on the second lap, which only Martina Berta could live with, but Frey went again on the third lap, going solo. She eventually crossed the line over a minute clear of the Italian, with another Swiss rider, Nicole Koller, in third. That was the first elite XCO world title for Frey, as I said, but not completely unexpected. She had a great season already, winning two rounds of the World Cup and the European Championships too. Right, back to the road now, because I want to mention the Philadelphia Classic over in the USA. So this used to be a huge race back in the day, and after a long absence, it made its return at the weekend, after a 10-year hiatus. Just like the good old days, the race took on laps that included the 17% gradients of the Manayunk Wall. In the men's race, Lidl Trek controlled the final few kilometres and delivered Tim Thorne Teutenberg to his first ever pro win, whilst in the women's, there was also a reduced sprint finish. Chiara Consonni of Canyon SRAM took her second win of the season there, ahead of 20-year-old Canadian Alexander Volstad, rider for EF Education Oakley. Great to see that race back, I've got to say. Okay, transfer news now, and the biggest move over the last week has probably been that of Juan Sebastian Molano. One of, if not the only pure sprinter on the men's UAE squad for the past few years, he's moving over to Lotto Antimarché for the next two seasons. And they'll be hoping he can bring some of the wins that they'll be losing through Arnaud Delis's move to Tudor. Lotto are also losing Liam Slok. He's off to Bahrain Victorious, also on a two-year deal. Slok, you'll probably remember, had the most memorable first pro win ever earlier this year, the Grand Prix Gippingen. If you need a reminder, here it is. Pinarello Q36.5 have reinforced their climbing talent by signing 23-year-old Jan Castellon from Caja Rural. He's had a very consistent couple of years in stage races, including 11th overall at this year's Dauphiné. The Swiss squad has also signed young Irish talent Liam O'Brien on a three-year deal. He moves over from the Lidl Trek development squad. Another Irishman, and current national champion actually, Seth Dunwoody, is also moving up to the World Tour. He's going to be with Bahrain Victorious for the next 3 years, after 2 years in their development team. Danish national time trial champion Christian Eriksholm has been lured away from Lidl Trek's development team as well. He's going to spend the next 3 years at least with Uno X. XJS Astana employed a couple of strong riders in the latter parts of their respective careers. Andrea Baggioli from Lidl Trek and Anthony Turgis of Total. There's been lots of transfers on the women's side as well, actually, over the last week. Five for Georgia spent her entire career so far with Picnic Postenel, but after 8 years there, she decided it was time for a change. She goes over to UAE team Limad. Sophie van Rooyen moves away from that team and over to Human Powered Health, whilst Dutch star Sheeran van Androoy is also making a big move. After spending all of her career so far with Lidl Trek, she signed a 3-year contract with Canyon SRAM. Well, just over 3 years actually, because she's moving on the 1st of November, presumably with an eye on the cyclocross season. All contracts should start on the 1st of November though, as far as I'm concerned, makes a lot more sense in cycling. Now, I was also delighted to see that Sandra Alonso has found herself a new pro contract. She was with Sarah Tizzit until the team folded at the end of last year, and she's since given birth to her first child. That hasn't stopped her taking a couple of wins this year already though, more than enough to secure her a contract with the Laboura Kutcher team. FDJ Suez have a new rider for next year too, 17-year-old Anya Grossman. A multi-time junior national champion, she will go into the pro ranks as a first-year senior in 2027. Lidl Trek have signed Julia Kopecky from SD Works, Human Powered Health add Yara Kasteline and Sophie van Rooyen to their roster, and just finally, Caroline Anderson moves from Livalula Jayco to AG Insurance on a 3-year deal. Right, that is all for this week. I'll be back next week to wrap up week 2 of La Vuelta, the Men's Tour of Britain and the ZLM Tour. I'll see you then.